It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Got a new haircut, some new snazzy socks, and I'm ready to go. How you doing, Will?
Is that what you need to podcast?
It's true, every week, socks and a haircut.
Yeah. I'm concerned, because I'm pretty sure my mother secretly listens to the podcast.
What tipped you off?
She says things, like I'll mention something on the podcast, and then she'll find a way to, even if it's just a movie or something that I've seen, and then I talk about it on the podcast, she'll bring it up in the conversation. She's like, oh, did you see that thing? Or, oh, did you hear that story that there's like a, they're building another Titanic? Well, yeah, no, why are you bringing this up like the day my podcast comes out? Like, you know, so I think she's secretly listening, which, as long as she doesn't tell me, it's fine. But I can't help but thinking she's heard me say, like, fuck and cunt and all these things.
Hello, Mrs. Link. How are you doing? I'm very excited to meet you when you come to town.
She's coming to town this weekend. So there you go. You can have your opportunity. What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
A couple people took our advice. They liked the photos and they liked the podcast on Facebook. So thank you for that.
Hey, was it so hard?
Wasn't so hard. And something that I want to suggest to the listeners, and I haven't cleared this with you yet, Will. We always tell you, do this, do that, like us, tell your friends, bullshit. We're going to put up a question on Facebook. Why don't you tell us a few things maybe you'd like from us? This is a way for us to engage in a conversation with the listeners.
I will do anything you ask of me.
I will not, but, you know, if you have suggestions, maybe, hey, Will and Sean, you should try doing this, or don't be so racist, or sexist, or all the other things you always tell me I am.
I'm glad that you said that you are, not me.
But, you know, we're going to put that up there, so let's see how this goes.
Okay, great. Perfect. I'm excited.
Oh, we want to thank listener Sean, S-H-A-W-N, who donated $50 to LA Storyworks after hearing Michael Duggan on the podcast 2 weeks ago. So thank you so much for that.
I was very happy to see that our listeners, they did something.
Yeah, they got a tax deduction.
They gave $50 to this cause. So, you know, it helped. It was worth Michael coming on the podcast to talk about
stories will live on because of people like Sean.
And I want to thank Michael Duggan, because I did his show, Tattletales, last week. I want to thank everybody who came out. And I'm going to be performing again at the end of April at the Pez Show, and I'll have details about that in upcoming episodes. And now that we're done talking about all this shit, who's our sponsor this week?
This week's episode, Will, is brought to you by Steubenville High School in the great state of Ohio. Nationally recognized for both our athletics and photography departments, this jewel of the Midwest sees many of its students move on to some of the most exclusive institutions in the country. Steubenville High School. Go Big Reds.
I'll tell you what, if I have a daughter, yeah, I think we're going to relocate there because I hear the school system is really good ladies there.
It's in the Ohio Valley. You know, you can't go wrong.
On the show today, Veronica Mars got a Kickstarter. The movie Spring Breakers has made me think about some young Disney actresses in a way that maybe I shouldn't be. And The Enemy is an enemy I may have to live with for years. But first,
you have syphilis?
Our guest on the show this week, she's very funny, Barbara Gray.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Is that bad when I say she's very funny? Like, do you feel extra pressure to be funny?
No, I feel great. Do you know I'm funny, though? Have you watched anything I've done?
I've watched some stuff, and I've listened to your Lady to Lady podcast.
Oh, okay. And then you know I'm okay. I mostly just confess things on there that are funny about my life.
But you confess them in a funny way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I follow you on Twitter and have had some badinage with you on there.
Some what?
Back and forth.
Oh, badinage? Yeah. Is that a word?
Yeah, it's a word.
Oh, all right. Sure, I'm learning French. Things.
Yay.
That's why we bring guests here. We bring them to
French, French Twitter talking words.
To lecture at them is what we have guests on for.
Well, before we get into all the funny that you do.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back. Where are you from?
I am from Salt Lake City, Utah. Voted the funniest place in America.
That's what I hear. It's also the drunkest place in America.
Yes, the funniest, drunkest, most sex-filled place. Yeah, Salt Lake. I mean, I was born in California, but I was raised there, so whatever. I consider Salt Lake my home.
Okay. Did you, I mean, did you like Salt Lake? Or
I love it. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
Is it conducive, though, for, like, do people... Because I have this impression of Salt Lake, like we were just kind of joking, that it seems kind of dull because of all the Mormon stuff.
It's actually perfect because there's an underbelly of culture there that people don't expect, you know, because of all the Mormon kind of side effects or whatever. So there's a lot of great music and great art and stuff that's hiding that people don't think is there. But it is. It's and yeah, there's great good nightlife and stuff. So yeah, it's a great city.
You just have to know where to go.
If you go outside of Salt Lake, then it's terrible.
Okay, because that's like the kind of the cultural hub of the state.
But everywhere else is like super Mormon and conservative.
Okay.
It's like being in Texas. Like if you're in Austin, it's cool, but anywhere else and you're in
fucking Texas. I think pretty much the same thing. So.
And is that then growing up there, you decided you wanted to get into comedy?
Yeah, I just started getting really obsessed with it, like kind of. I always did performance and stuff, and then, you know, we'd listen to, like, Bill Cosby when I was a kid and all that stuff, and I'd watch comedy, obviously, and then, I don't know, I started, like, reading listings of all the shows out here and thinking, like, oh, those sound so cool, I want to go see those, so I moved out here to do film, and then I started doing comedy out here, and that was it.
How long have you lived in Los Angeles for now?
For, like, 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've only been doing comedy for, like, 4 years.
Okay.
So, I mean... That's college, so I have a bachelor's degree right now.
And so, and you do all sorts. Like, I mean, I've been to your website, and you do all sorts of stuff. Like, you got a lot of videos there that you've like acted in.
I've got a really great workout video on there that a lot of my coworkers see, and then I get freaked out about.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners about the workout video?
It's just like a workout video where I basically do nothing. I do like one sit up, and then I just like eat food.
That sounds like my kind of workout.
Yeah, and then I use this cup that makes fart noises, and then I turn it off.
What, the putty?
It's like a fart cup. It looks like I'm fingering it, which is kind of creepy, but yeah. And then my coworkers have been like, hey, I like your workout video. And it has way more views than anything else I have. It's 2,500 views, and I think it's just because I'm like, sort, you know, I'm wearing like a tank top in it, so.
I'm wearing a tank top, making fart noises in a cup.
I mean, that's.
But are you wearing leg warmers?
No.
I had a very serious question about leg warmers the other day. They don't make any sense to me.
Why? They do keep your legs warm.
But do you need, like, is there some sort of genetic issue that women's legs just get cold?
Yeah, women like looking good, and they look cool.
Okay. I'll take your word on that.
Is that your eye?
I like them. I think they look cool. I have some rainbow-colored ones.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get you a pair of leg warmers. You could try them out for a week and see if
report back.
They have helped me before when I like want to, you know, I don't want to wear pants, but I want my legs to be warm. It's a thing. It happens.
What's it to you? Stop judging.
So now you also do like stand up.
Yes,
stuff.
That's the main thing that I do is stand up.
Is that your favorite of all then the different comedy stuff you do?
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is.
We've had a lot of funny women on.
Gross.
But we haven't had any women who actually do stand-up.
Right.
And...
Well, yes, well, they sit down.
Yeah, they sit down and make sandwiches.
That's true. They sit down and make sandwiches, yeah. But you stand up and tell jokes.
Yes.
Now, I mean, I hate me asking this question.
Here it comes.
You know
I'm
where
getting ready.
It's kind of that stock thing.
Okay,
because
well,
you're the...
when a man and a woman love each other...
In that special way.
And that's... is that really where they come from?
No, why? What are you going to...
No, it was about, like, the nature of women in stand-up comedy. Because I feel like a lot of the funniest people I see are women, yet I'm constantly bombarded with this idea of
women not being funny.
Yeah, and I don't get it.
I mean, I don't either. I don't know what.
Is this something that
to tell you?
But I mean, going into stand-up, did you feel that it was like it's like a boys' club, or does it feel very open?
I've never felt weird about it. It's never been a challenge. I mean, it's a challenge a little bit just because sometimes you're the only girl, and like you're like, okay, I'm gonna prove myself. But I've never felt weird about it. I've just felt like I'm a comic. That's it.
Do you feel that there's a certain expectation on female stand-up comedians to tell certain kinds of jokes or, you know?
No, I mean, there's no expectation for any... people maybe assume they're going to tell certain kinds of jokes more, but I guess whatever you relate to the most is what you're going to talk about the most, so I'm sure they'll maybe talk about losing weight more because women are expected to lose weight more than men are. You know, I talk about that shit all the time. So that's
You make jokes about what's
about
human.
What your life's about. Yeah,
yeah, about what's human.
But I think, like, I also was lucky I started in the right places. I avoided the clubs because those tend to be more misogynistic and stuff like that. And I did the alternative rooms. And most of the guys there are extremely respectful and, you know, they're feminists and they never said anything. So I always put myself in the situation where I didn't have to deal with those kind of people.
Okay.
So.
Now, you said you thought the clubs would be are more misogynistic.
Yes.
Are they just rougher on anyone new coming in, or is it really specifically towards
women?
I mean,
if you're sitting in the, you'll hear X amount more rape jokes, misogynistic jokes, okay, etc. Like, you just don't feel comfortable as a woman being there. Yeah, it's just more hostile. I mean, I was at an open mic a few nights ago of the kind of guys that go to those places, and I haven't been going to them too much, but I went. I was like, you know, I need to get out of my comfort zone. And a guy called me a cunt from on stage.
Really?
Completely, like, unprovoked. He called me ma'am, and I was like, oh, something like, I don't like ma'am. Or, you know, I was joking with him, but he's like, how would I call you a cunt? And I've never met this man before in my life.
And he was on stage.
He was on stage.
Did that get laughs?
No, he says it got laughs, but he didn't get any laughs. He was terrible, so.
Man, Chris Rock's humor's gotten really abrasive.
Yeah, really edgy. If it was Chris Rock, it would have been like,
Seinfeld's
you can call me anything.
Really rough.
Yeah.
That would be great if Seinfeld went that route.
Why is a woman a cunt?
The other night on stage, Jerry Seinfeld called Barbara Gray a cunt.
Yeah.
And we're not going to stand for that, Jerry.
To be fair, he was working out new material.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
I'll give Jerry a pass.
That's so weird. I mean, I understand even in the world of comedy where they say it's a safe space, this is a rhetorical exercise, this is a place where it's like the court jester, they could say anything they want and it's kind of accepted, but to just apropos of nothing, just be calling
well, that's
a kind,
the thing is he was like,
not
I'm not going to apologize to her, she's a comic and it was a joke, and I was like, a joke's funny, that was not, that's, the lowest common denominator isn't always funny, and he doesn't know that, you know?
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I want to talk also about the Lady to Lady podcast, because I've been listening to your podcast, and it has, you know, you're the first active podcaster we've had on our podcast.
Oh, really?
Like we're bringing the competition.
Ooh.
We've had retired podcasters.
Yes. Well, we've had people
who are sick of it.
Yeah.
Like Jake and Elliot.
Oh, right, yeah.
But I wanted to ask about this, because I'm worried, because I listened to your podcast, and Sean, our podcast has a few things on our podcast.
Such Ooh. As?
Well, first, it's three women as opposed to two guys, which seems more appealing.
I keep telling you to have that operation. You won't do it.
Also, you have a theme song.
Yeah.
We do.
I love our
theme
song.
Your theme
favorite.
Song's pretty good.
It's pretty catchy.
Our theme song is fucking Mazursky, so, you know.
Well, why don't you guys get one?
We don't have anyone who's going to write us. If any listener wants to write us a theme song.
Will Sean. That's all you got to do. Double clap.
I can't even double clap. We have such.
Oh my gosh! You guys have no rhythm. We'll
Nothing.
Hire someone.
We gotta
spend money.
Will you send the professional clappers who you use?
That was us. We clapped for our own thing.
Well, anyway, I was listening to the podcast.
We'll get the Lumineers on it right away.
Yeah, yeah. They're not busy.
No, they got nothing. Yeah. I think they should come on our show.
I know a guy who knows a guy who knows Bono.
I like the idea that we would have the Lumineers come in to clap. But not,
but
the
not
guests.
To sing. Not to sing or be guests, but just to clap. Yeah.
Like, couldn't you have just gotten you? No, we need the best.
We need the best clappers.
What I liked about the Lady to Lady podcast, and I urge everyone to go listen to it, is it really, to me, felt like just like a real, just the conversation really flowed.
Yeah.
Like, with this podcast, you know, we move from topic to topic and stuff, and I think it flows, but yours, I thought it was fairly seamless.
Oh, thank you.
Well, it's because women are more in tune with nature and the
and,
rhythm of the earth.
We're all in sync, you know, so that makes sense.
I'm going to have some hard transitions to new topics later, and it's going to be
jarring.
Well, tell me a little bit about the podcast and these other ladies on the Lady to Lady podcast.
The other ladies are also stand-ups, Tess Barker and Brandy Posey, and we're all really good friends, you know, and that's where it comes from. I mean, we hang out constantly. They're hilarious. We all make each other laugh all the time, so it's just kind of... That's just how we talk, you know, and that's why it, I think, flows really well.
What made you decide to do a podcast?
I was, we were like outside this show called Holy Fuck, that's like a downtown, a really great downtown comedy show. And somebody said LT, I don't know why, but someone said L2L. And I was like, oh, you mean like lady to lady, like short for lady to lady, because there's a bunch of girls. And then I just thought, oh, that's like a cool name for a talk show. And we started, we have a live, the live show, and that started first. And then we were like, well, let's start this podcast to like get more people out. And, you know, that was it. So
there you go.
I mean, similar, Will and myself just cracked each other up and decided we should record this. This is fun. And then we should have guests because people will just get tired of listening to the two of us.
Right.
And same thing. It's how this started. And then we came up with our clever title.
And you have guests also. You have other people.
Yeah, we have a, we always have like a fourth lady come on and talk to us. And then we have a guy character usually and screw with him. And it's fun.
What so, I find.
It's like Howard Stern.
Yeah,
it's
basically.
The reverse. Yeah.
Take your clothes off.
It's what I like about the podcast is it's something that's always out there that's constantly like you're constantly putting a new product out there. Like, let's say you don't have a show for a little while or, and you meet somebody like, oh, go listen to this right away. Or, you know, it's a good I think it's a good tool time. I think anyone trying to do what we're doing or trying to do comedy, which isn't what we're doing.
What are we doing?
It's.
Now making people listen to you talk. That's
exactly.
What you're doing.
But it's, I think it's a smart tool to have in your back pocket.
Well, really, we want the show. We want to get the show on TV eventually. That's the idea. And we, that's the thing is, it was so hard to be like, come to this show that's once a month. Because people just, you know, it's hard to get people out to stuff. So that's why we really started the podcast. We're like, we just want something to have our name behind and kind of build a brand around it, you know.
Before we move on to some of the pop culture topics here. Did what's the difference between the live show and the podcast? Like, is there a big difference?
There's a pretty big difference because we put a ton of work. I mean, we put work into the podcast. Mostly it's just us talking, you know. The live show is insanely, we have a lot of work. It's like the View, we call it like the View meets Pee-wee's Playhouse, basically. It's, we talk about like current topics, but then we have characters and there's like a whole overarching sketch
so
that
like,
runs through the show.
There's a scripted nature to it.
There's a little bit. I mean, it's a lot of improvised, but yeah, there's a scripted like sketch that kind of runs throughout and we have like a TV theme song dance troupe and all this like weird fun stuff. That's
What are some TV theme songs?
Well, the dance troupe is named Liquid Feet and they've done Home Improvement, Full House, what else have they done? I don't know.
Have they done Mr. Belvedere?
Not yet.
I'd like to hear the Mr. Belvedere theme.
Yeah, I'm sure that will happen eventually.
All right.
They just filmed themselves dancing to Katy Perry in the old abandoned zoo in Griffith Park. They just put that online today, and it's amazing. So.
Well, why don't you tell everybody where they could find out more about you, like your website, Lady to Lady, all that.
Lady to Lady on just on iTunes. We have a Facebook page and we're going to get a website soon, I guess. My website is myjokesareuphere.com. Get it, guys? Babs Gray on Twitter, I guess, or whatever.
And if you are a good listener of the podcast, and I know you are because you gave $50 2 weeks ago to LA Storyworks, so you must be a good listener, you've already gone...
Only Sean, just Sean specifically, that listener.
Sean, with Sean. Who spells it not
the
like
wrong
me.
Way.
So Sean spelled...
Sean?
Sean. he's already been to your webpage. He's already listened to Lady to Lady because we have a link up to all of this on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yes.
And also find me doing karaoke in a Winebox costume and click like on it.
Do that.
Yes.
Google Barbara Gray Winebox costume
It'll come
karaoke.
Up. It'll come up.
Bieber.
Yeah, you get to see what my bedroom looks like. It's pretty exciting.
Ooh. If you always wanted to see Barbara Gray's bedroom but never thought you'd get the chance.
Half of L.A. has. Hey!
Ah.
Whatever.
after this episode, the other half will, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wanted to talk about this. Last week, Veronica Mars... You know, did you guys watch Veronica Mars when it was on?
I did not.
I did not either.
I was always told to watch it.
I have it on, like, DVD, but I still haven't watched it.
My father was a big fan of it, and he always would be like, you should watch that Veronica Mars. And I never did, and I'm sure I would have liked it. But, you know, they wanted to make a Veronica Mars movie, and making a movie costs millions of dollars. So the creator of it, Rob Thomas, he...
From Matchbox 20.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
He went... on Kickstarter, and he said, we want to raise $2 million in a certain amount of days. And they raised over $2 million in 11 hours to fund a Veronica Mars movie. I gotta ask, is this really the best use of Kickstarter to have? Isn't this to be, like, for people, like let's say you're trying to put together, like, some really indie, I have no money comedy project, where this is something that a studio has rights to, you know?
I think that's kind of great, though, because, like, the fans, I don't know, that if anything has that many fans and was kind of like a cult hit, how do they know, you know, if they were ever going to make it otherwise? Like, I think that that's proof that there's going to be a ton of people to watch it and just go for it.
I think this is kind of sinister by Warner Brothers, honestly, because so they raised $2 million. It's at about $3.5 million now. And Rob Thomas has said the more they raise, the better the movie's going to be. He's got an outline, and just the more money they have, the more he could flesh it out. You telling me Warner Brothers couldn't scrounge up together $3 million?
Yeah, that's weird, because are they only going to make it for as much as he gets in the Kickstarter? Because that's going to be terrible.
It's a rounding error, basically, for Warner Brothers. They basically, what they've done is they've pre-sold the movie to the fans, so you get these people that have spent money. They are, if you spend more than a certain dollar amount, I think it was $35 or $50, you get a copy of the DVD, you get a digital download. So are these people going to pay again to see the movie?
Yes.
And I think that Warner Brothers has been really underhanded. Like, this is your business. You make movies. They couldn't pull together a couple million dollars for Veronica Mars.
I read a now dated article in Entertainment Weekly, because this all happened on Thursday, and Entertainment Weekly went to print, I guess, on Thursday, and they had an article like, exclusive Veronica Mars, and it's all like, will they raise the money? And I'm like, well, they did. They did when you sent this.
That's why Prince dying.
But he...
Prince is dying?
Yes. Sorry. Oh, God, you guys don't know.
Spoiler alert. but what I thought was interesting about this, he went to Warner Brothers with this idea back in 2011.
It took him a year or so.
And they were like, they said, we got to look at this. We got to look into the business of this. And it took them a long time to approve actually doing this. They've agreed to, they said, if you raise this money, we'll pay for all the advertising.
Yeah.
And it's not even going to be a long theatrical run, they said. It's going to be a brief theatrical run, but it's going to be mostly on video on demand. I mean, I just can't think. Look, I have so many friends who do Kickstarter accounts.
For web series.
Or like their album or their web series or all this stuff. And I feel bad. I don't give them money. I never do.
I don't ever give it for web series, because I'm like, people have been making these forever. I'm not giving you any of my money. You can make it without any of my money.
Yeah. I don't give for charities either. You're going to go run to cure something? I don't think so.
I kind of feel guilty, because I'm the asshole who like, oh, Andrea Marchant needs money, and I'll retweet it, but then I don't give the money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a prick. But I could never imagine giving money, especially to something. Like, I can't think of a project out there
think of one TV show that, like, you loved that you, if you gave some money to, would make it into a movie. About Mr. Belvedere? What if they
Mr. Belvedere
Kickstarter?
Oh, well, that would be pretty great.
the only television show I feel like I don't even... I would want that Deadwood 2-hour movie just to cap the series, because it ended on such an indeterminate note, because they thought they were going to be able to get the opportunity to do a wrap-up movie, and they never got it. So the series just kind of finishes.
Would you donate money on a Kickstarter for it?
Like, why not? $5. If $10 is going to help or whatever.
If that'll get Ian McShane off the fence, then yes.
I feel weird that I'm giving $10 to
HBO
to give
that
me a
That is
move.
Weird. Well, that's the thing. If it was like an independent production,
right.
Then of course.
But that's
exactly
what it is. It's basically Warner Brothers is almost holding the audience hostage, being like, you want your fucking movie? Give
it's
us
almost,
money.
It's almost like they only care about money, which is...
Hold on.
Like,
hold on here.
They don't really care about the audience at all.
Would you have given money if this was the only way, like, Arrested Development would come back?
Yes.
Oh, I do. I give money to Netflix every month.
Arrested, like, Freaks and Geeks, if The Office UK, if I could see another...
Well, they are coming out with another one.
Yeah, they're only, like, one episode, I think, but...
I'm sorry, how much did you do? Another 9 seasons?
Anything for my favorite things, I would pay some money to, like, see more of.
I've given $5 to Kickstarter to a guy independently making a documentary about Bill Watterson and Calvin and Hobbes.
Okay, that's, you know what, I could get behind that.
$5.
$5 to hear about Calvin and Hobbes all day?
I was gonna like, research bad Kickstarters before I came here, and I didn't. I'm sorry.
I could have met, well...
Well, there's that one guy that needs money for in vitro fertilization, so...
What? We should start a Kickstarter.
We should, for this fucking podcast.
Yeah. And then Andrea Marchand could retweet it, but not give us any money.
I could see that.
Well, moving on. Speaking of independent movies, this movie Spring Breakers came out. It's directed by Harmony Korine, who I gotta admit I've never been that big a fan of his films.
What has he done?
He directed these movies that I'm sure you know they've caught the box office on fire, like Gummo and Julian Donkey Boy and Trash Humpers.
Oh, my favorite.
That's my college nickname.
He makes these really low budget. They're kind of just dirt. They make me uncomfortable, his movies, but not in the way I like to be
made
uncomfortable.
Says the man who loves Roger Waters.
Are they all just really dirty
and
weird?
John Waters.
Roger Waters.
Roger Waters. I love John Waters. No, it's, I don't know. There was this thing back in the 90s, this thing called Dogma 95, where they're like, we're going to make these movies, but we're going to use only natural lighting, and we're only going to, it's all going to be like this improv. And it's,
we're going to make obnoxious movies being obnoxious while doing it.
And he made some of those. Well, he's got his most mainstream film now, and it's called Spring Breakers. And it's basically about these girls who go on spring break, and they're like, we're going to do drugs, and we're going to have sex, and we're going to rob people, and James Franco's going to be there, and it's going to be fucking crazy.
Right.
Now, the thing about this movie is that it stars a lot of Disney actresses, Vanessa Hudgens and Selena Gomez, and I guess they're trying to shake up their Disney image by, like, wearing bikinis, blowing people. I don't know if they're blowing people, but basically that's the idea. And it got me thinking about how hard it is to change up your image, because it always just looks like such a desperate...
It happens are we surprised it's happened to literally every Disney star?
But does it stick?
I mean, look at all of them. Like, all the people who were on the Disney Mouse, whatever it is.
No, well, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, all of them have
Gosling.
Done that. Miley Cyrus did it. It's like,
well, Miley Cyrus is a work in progress.
But she still kind of has, you know? It's like, it happens to every one of them. So what's the... I don't know what the... I just expect it now.
I expect it not to work for some reason, because I don't necessarily see Miley... I don't think Miley Cyrus is ever going to be as big as she was as Hannah Montana.
But I feel like someone like Justin Timberlake and Ryan Gosling... First of all, I think it's easier for men to do this than women. It feels like with Timberlake and Gosling, they just progressed into that. It felt more organic. Where with this, it feels like they're deliberately going out of the way to say, look at us, we're being dirty. And the
yeah,
women need to go...
Yeah, but that's what happens. The guys can't... you can't have a guy be like, look at me, I'm being dirty. That doesn't ever happen.
Well,
it's only girls that are like, oh, look, they're dressing more scandalous.
Pee-wee Herman.
Because they don't want to be looked at as a little girl anymore. You know?
You got us on that.
Yeah, it's like, the guy. When have you seen the guy? The guys can't do that,
but
there's
no
path for that.
To the one point that you said about their progression, though, I think, and let's use a girl as an example, Britney Spears, I think she was able to make that transition also along with Timberlake and people, because there also wasn't as much of a media focus. Like, I don't think the internet was as big as when Ryan Gosling was a Mouseketeer.
Well, look at Britney Spears. What'd she have to do? She had to go in a schoolgirl outfit and sing Hit Me Baby One More Time. I mean, that was a very sexualized...
Yeah, and that was her first thing.
But
yeah.
You want to know what? I will counter your point now. Like someone like Zac Efron, who is in these movies where, like, Nicole Kidman has to urinate on him. He did a movie with Nicole Kidman. Yeah, he did a movie with Nicole Kidman.
I think
Kidman
that's just in her contract, though. She's on all of her co-stars.
I'm sorry, but I have to piss on all of my co-stars.
It's just these are the rules.
Yeah.
That's why Tom Cruise got
that's
the hell
in her
out
writer.
Of there.
Yeah.
That was why Tom Cruise got involved with her in the first place.
Well,
let's be honest.
Definitely.
But I mean, I don't think I guess what I'm saying is people I think looked at Zac Efron in this movie and they just weren't buying it because he was High School Musical. So I think for both sides, like Justin Bieber right now, not that he was a Disney star, but you know. People look at him like not walking around with no shirt on all the time.
Right.
And people are like, oh, you're like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to show us you're a man? You're like, you're a joke.
I just think that it's going to happen to all of them. I don't think there's any, like, who hasn't done that? Who stayed sweet and innocent?
Well, but it's
besides you guys.
It's not even that. It's if I guess it's more, does it work? Because like Lindsay Lohan being another example of, she just seems to have gone off the rails in life. And granted, she's a mess, and Vanessa Hudgens probably has a much better head on her shoulder.
I don't know, I saw her tweeting those naked pictures of herself.
That's true, we've actually all seen Vanessa Hudgens naked already.
I haven't.
Well.
I have, I'm sure.
We'll send you a link.
That was a while ago, right?
Yeah, it was already like 2-3 years ago.
I don't think she was of age?
Yeah, she was.
I mean, that's the thing though, but they're normal sexual like creatures. Like, it's not, I don't think it's weird of them to be doing this. They're becoming adults.
Well, my question is, I mean, do you think it works in the public image? Less that whether they should do it. Because I have no problem
yes,
with them doing
because
it.
Because people love sex. People want to see more skin. Why are people going to see this movie?
I guess because of them. They're not seeing it because it's from the director of Trash Humpers.
Because of James Franco's grill or whatever.
Honestly, if I see it, it will probably be because of James Franco's grill.
I mean, yeah, I think it looks... I want to see it. It looks interesting to me.
I'll go tonight and see it.
Are you going to check it out?
I'm sure I'll get to it eventually. There's a couple other movies ahead of this that I need to see, but I'm not opposed to seeing these actors and actresses in this context.
I think it's better to do something like this because it's like one fell swoop. Like, yeah, you're a bad girl now.
I hope they just start driving
Camaros and doing coke all the time, right away.
Anne Hathaway did that movie Havoc, where she was this chick that was having sex with all these Mexican gangbangers, and she was naked in half the movie, and then... I don't know where I'm going with this, but Anne Hathaway, Havoc, rented.
But she's still like a classy actress. I think she's just a good actress.
And now she won an actress. She won an Oscar.
She won an actress. She won a slave actress.
Yeah. She gets to drag an actress.
Yeah. Octavia Spencer? No, that's not funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, because she's black. I get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, also with changing images, another thing that always strikes me is, and you as a comic probably see this one, but these comedians who shift from comedy to drama. And sometimes that goes with mixed results. Like, I think when Jim Carrey started doing that, I thought it was great. The Truman Show's great. Eternal Sunshine's great. And Robin Williams has pulled it off. Some people don't. Like, I mean, I know whenever... And Chris Rock could be the most brilliant stand-up, one of the greatest ever, even. But I just... Whenever he tries acting and then it gets serious, I never quite buy it.
Yeah.
And
acting's such a different beast. I've started to do a little bit of it, and I just don't know how anyone does it.
As a comic, do you feel like you try to bring a lot of your comic persona to the acting?
Well, that's the idea, but it's also, I'm so used to saying my own words and just kind of being my own personality.
Right.
To play somebody else totally different, even if it is like kind of based on you, it's definitely hard. I don't know.
I guess if you're not in complete control of
That's the thing. It's a control thing.
Which is why Louis C.K. is so great on Louis, because he's got a control of every inch of that property. But something struck us that Jon Stewart is taking a break from the Daily Show. Tell us about this movie he's doing.
Well,
he's not acting in it, but still, this is
he's
a departure from comedy.
Yeah, he wrote and is going to be directing. He wrote the script. It's based on a book called And Then They Came For Me. And it is about a reporter that was held in an Iranian prison for 3 or 4 months, leaving his pregnant wife behind, not knowing what had happened to him. And he was interrogated almost every day by this prison guard, whom he only knew by the man's scent, and that was Rosewater. So Jon Stewart will be directing a Iranian political torture film with an enigmatic title.
Sounds hilarious.
And actually, it kind of comes full circle because some of the evidence that they were using against this reporter claiming that he was a spy was based on some things that he had said when he was on The Daily Show.
Really?
Whoa.
Yes, and they used some of that. They played that for him saying, well, why did you say this? Why did you say, if you're not a spy, why did you say these things? So The Daily Show is in a way implicated in this man's actual story. I think that's how this came to Jon Stewart's
attention.
So Jon Stewart
will play himself in the...
Well, oh, yeah!
Well, he'll be playing the clips. I don't think he'll be recreating. Yeah. But, you know, is Jon Stewart going to grow a beard out and go, you know, and direct this film? I'm not saying this is going to be bad. It could be wonderful.
It'll probably be good because Stewart's a smart guy.
He's so insightful, and he's so smart.
Yeah, and I love Jon Stewart. I think he's a fascinating comedian and thinker, and I would not be shocked if 20 years from now he decides to run and become Senator Stewart or something.
I hope so.
And one thing he's done less and less of, if you saw this more 2 or 3 years ago, he would always say, but I'm just a comedian. He'd always hide and dodge under that. But I feel like he's gotten so fed up with the media and the way he sees news being portrayed and having to digest and spit it out night after night that he's developed some legitimate righteous indignation, and this could be a way for him to try and affect something, or effect something, both actually, with the tools and the celebrity he has. So we'll see what happens, but I'm very curious as to where Jon Stewart's going to end up.
Well, I mean, how long has he been hosting Daily Show? It's been a long
over
time.
Over 10 years.
Well over, I think.
For me, like, as a creative person, I get really tired of doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
So if I was him, I would try to do this years ago.
What did he say? He goes, I'm out here humping my ass, 22 minutes a night, yeah. 4 nights a week.
That's a lot of
but
work.
But still, a lot goes into putting together the show.
No, yeah. It's a lot. Yeah, I mean, I just, like, I think to have that chance to go on a whole new endeavor to, yeah. you know, it's like, why not?
Well, even look at Stephen Colbert. His sister is running for Congress in South Carolina, and Stephen Colbert is going to be stumping for her, not in character, as himself, in the capacity of his sister's brother, and he even said in an article that he doesn't care if this backlash is on his show, if he gets negative reviews, if it affects his viewership, he's going to stand by his sister and he supports her and he'll do what it takes.
Oh, he's a good brother.
Well, he's got a career forever, too. I mean,
he doesn't have to worry. Yeah, he could do this show. It's funny, I don't watch The Daily Show and The Colbert Report as
much
as
I used
to.
I used to watch it, yeah, I don't anymore.
I wonder if some of this Jon Stewart, I mean, because he's very funny and he is very insightful, but there was something I think that at some point started to rub me like, oh, you're trying to have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You're trying to have it both ways with this fake news program.
No, he's gotten more preaching, he's gotten more direct, and he's gotten more angry. Over the years, and I still love it because it's the only place you'll go on television now where you'll find straight talk. And you'll find someone that cuts through the hypocrisy and the bullshit, and he takes shots at both sides.
I guess you don't watch a lady called Rachel Maddow.
But is Rachel Maddow just as quick to rip apart Obama for bullshit as
yeah.
she is? Okay.
She was really hard on him in this drone thing. And look, we did get very serious topics going on. This drones. She was very serious about drone strikes. I want to ask you, Barbara, about drone strikes.
Okay, yeah. I wrote a whole, like, 3-page thing on it. Do you want me to break it out?
Not a
I want
sex
you to
act.
Read the entire
okay.
thing.
I, Barbara Gray. No.
By the way, if we start this, suddenly a drone is going to strike us here.
See?
Look at
listening.
That. It just happened.
Gray, I'm glad this is my last moment on Earth. Bye.
What just happened?
I really want to squeeze this in super quick, because otherwise we'll keep pushing it back from week to week to week to week. But another directing thing that I wanted to bring up, that Steven Spielberg is going to adapt Stanley Kubrick's long-talked-about and abandoned Napoleon film into a miniseries. We talked about Kubrick's Napoleon film in regards to the show that they had at LACMA back last on an episode last year, that Kubrick had done all this research, a room full of research on Napoleon for a film that never got made. Talk about frustrating. And Spielberg's going to make this. I'm very excited, so I just wanted to throw it out there. I've been wanting to mention it for weeks. Sean, are you excited about this?
I'm extremely excited. I'm a huge fan of Napoleon. I mean, is that such a thing? I love me some European history. I have not. The script, I guess, has been out for a while for this Kubrick project. I have not read the script. I would like to. I think making it as a miniseries is the right approach. I think it can work, but you know, my question is, do we need to make a Napoleon movie? There has not yet been made a good movie about the 30 Years' War. Where's our 30 Years' War movie?
I want a movie for every year. I want 30 movies.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, 30 for 30.
Miniseries.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
No, they already have it on ESPN, 30 for 30.
That's about the 30-Year War.
It's true.
Is it? But on ESPN?
Yeah, and it's Michael Jordan's involvement in the 30
and Bill Simmons.
See, Michael Jordan should play Napoleon.
Yeah, give good
I
casting.
I mean, just be modern. You know, you got to modernize this show.
I like the tall, black Napoleon.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Jay-Z's going to be doing the soundtrack.
Oh yeah. Wait, is he? Is it on that one? I heard he was doing another one.
He's doing Gatsby.
Oh, yeah, that's right. God.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's doing the.
Of course
they,
he is,
because they
looks
pushed
like
the
most
movie.
Ridiculous he's, movie of all time.
It's gonna be amazing.
Do you think it's gonna be good, or
it's gonna be a fucking
I
acid
love
trip
Baz
train
Luhrmann.
Wreck?
It'll be ridiculous.
It's gonna be a crazy fucking train wreck. It's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, I like the book. We'll see.
Throw the book away.
We'll see what happens. I was at the movies this weekend, and the trailer for Gatsby played, and the people behind me, when the trailer ended, one of them said, I don't know what the plot is.
Oh.
And
somebody never went to any kind of school.
But the thing about it
got
is
a
the
GED.
Book has a very slight plot, really. There's not
yeah,
much
Yeah, that's true.
That goes
it's mostly a lot of talking.
So it's interesting how the trailer, even from this trailer, they were like, oh, I
well,
don't know what
this is
going
to be about.
That's
why every Gatsby adaptation, for the most part, has been a failure, because there's not much to hang it on, so.
Well, they're hanging this one on Leo DiCaprio.
And it's in 3D. That's
and
the funniest
thing.
Tobey
Maguire, who I'm pretty sure hasn't been in a movie since Spider-Man 3.
Oh, gross. I don't like him.
Oh, so
and Michael Jordan, also in that movie.
He's just, right. He plays Gatsby.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
the eyes of Dr. T.J. Eichelberg.
Well, speaking of Dr. T.J. Eichelberg, actually, there is no transition here.
See, hard shifts, male-dominated podcast.
You guys are flowing.
I could use a drone strike. And let me tell you why. I'm at war with my neighbor.
Oh.
Now, my neighbor, always the nicest, friendliest guy. Very friendly.
You live in an apartment? Like, what's the situation?
I'm in the apartment, and he's in the apartment right next to me. There's nobody next to him. He's, like, at the end of the...
But you share a wall.
We share a wall, and we share the living room walls. And for years, everything has been fine. I think he started dating this very loud young man, younger man. Although he's told me, oh, it's my friend. But they're clearly more than friends. And this guy, he laughs. He has this really, like, ha, 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 ha. And everything they watch is funny, apparently. But, you know, people are going to laugh. You know, what are you going to do? Also, this guy likes to sing. And he sings the same awful song, which I've never heard of. I think he wrote it constantly.
You realize you have to record that and bring it in.
Freddie Boutros knows what it is.
He just keeps singing this song. Yeah, you're right. I should record
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you should definitely record that.
And get it on the podcast.
Here.
But
theme song.
Yeah,
there you go.
There's the thing. I'll ask him to do the theme song. But you know what? People, if they got to sing, I walk around my apartment reading these essays out loud to try to get time. So I'm not going to fault that. But lately, he's been watching movies. He's been watching movies really loudly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he must have got a new sound system or something, because I'll be sitting there like trying to watch New Girl on TV, and I can hear him watching Skyfall louder than the TV in my apartment. The walls are physically shaking of my apartment. Sean, you saw that.
I was there, yeah.
And they were physical, like, and this, see, it got to this weird place where I'm like, it's not so late at night, so should I complain? But at the same time, I think I should complain, because this is really loud. The walls are shaking. So I saw...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, what were you going to say?
No, I didn't know if there was a... Keep going.
Here it comes. Here's the worst part. I saw him, and I said, hey, how's it going? He said, good. I said, listen, did you get a new sound system? And he goes, no, why? And you can already see in his eyes, like, he knows a complaint is coming. But I had to persevere. I had to move through this. And I go, well, you know, it sounds like the bass in particular of your sound system is like, it's really loud. Like, I can hear everything and it's shaking the walls. And he goes, I haven't changed anything. I said, I'm pretty sure you must have. He's like, well, you know, I could hear you talking in your kitchen, which freaked me out because that means he hears me, like, just talking on the phone when I'm calling. I'm telling one friend that another friend's an asshole and stuff like that. He hears all this. So he said, I'll look into it. And it's been a little better. Not perfect. Not like it used to be. But now there's this big situation where now I'm afraid to be loud. I'm afraid now if I have my TV too loud, then I'm going to bother him. And then he's going to come right back. Oh, look who's loud now. And it's going to go all the back. And I'm sitting in my apartment, and I could feel him on the other side of the wall hating me. And I'm sitting there cowering in fear now of my neighbor. And that is why you, my neighbor, are the enemy of the podcast this week. Fuck you, and fuck your sound system. And now this whole thing is just awkward, because this is going to go on until either one of us moves or dies. Ugh. I don't know what to do. What do you do with a neighbor like this?
I think, well, it sounds easy. You said he has this boyfriend, right?
Yes.
Poison his food.
You kill the boy. You become his new boyfriend, and you move in with him. Knock down the middle wall, and then there you go.
So I got a romance.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty brilliant. Except the one... There's only one small part in
the
this.
The penis in your ass?
It doesn't have to go that way.
That's true. I think I could deal with my penis in his ass a lot better.
Do we want to have this discussion with him to figure out what the logistics are going to be?
We should bring him on next week.
Yeah, and then you knock down the wall, get a huge place.
This is not about rent.
And a decent sound system.
That's
good
true,
sound
because,
system.
Sean, do I need to be worried about being loud? Because I don't have a sound system.
Well, if he hasn't complained, I wouldn't worry about that part.
But he kind of threw it back at you a little bit.
But, like, I can hear you talking.
Maybe your voice is louder than your sound system.
It probably is. It probably is. I have a booming voice.
I don't know. You know what? I'm kind of lucky. I live above someone, but she's this old, old woman, and even if we're loud and bugging her, she can't do anything about it.
But every once in a while, she hears someone in your apartment yell, "You're the enemy of the podcast! Fuck you! Fuck you, old lady downstairs!"
Yeah, so I've never had neighbor problems, but I don't know what to do. It's a tough situation because now it's out in the open.
I like the guy, too.
He's just so fucking loud with Skyfall. And The Hobbit.
And The Hobbit, he was blasting The Hobbit.
I mean, you tell him, say like, "You know, I don't want to be a dick, but come over here, listen to how loud this is.
That's what
I
should."
Watch my wall shaking.
But then he's going to bring you over and like, "You come over here when you got that asshole and you guys are doing that thing at your table."
It's all awkward. I haven't seen him since and I'm avoiding him and I just feel like a schmuck. No,
passive aggressive
notes. I hate having to avoid your neighbors. It's so...
But he probably doesn't care. I'm probably making a bigger deal of this than he is.
Well, yeah, because he's the one being louder, it seems like.
He doesn't think so.
He's the aggressor.
Well...
Oh, in that case, then you're definitely taking a penis in your ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because we all live in apartments, and there's...
I live in a house, no big deal.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you...
I share... It is like a duplex, but I literally never see or hear the guy behind us.
Fancy.
Do you have a washing machine?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Because that's the other thing that sucks when you live in an apartment.
Yeah, you share.
And there's always the people who, like, you keep going down and they've left their clothes in there and you don't know whether you should take them out or not. You want to give them time and you don't want them to walk in.
Those are, like, the most awkward. I'm glad I have to avoid the whole washing machine.
I've done that once and there was some very interesting underwear in there and I was like, "Oh."
What does interesting mean?
Frilly and colorful.
Oh.
I thought it was going to be crotchless.
No, there was some see-through stuff in there, though.
Sexy.
Was it the old lady who lives downstairs?
Yes, it was the old lady who lives downstairs, who lives in a shoe.
But yeah, like, what do you do about it? I mean, you used to live in an apartment, I assume.
I've always lived in a house. Isn't that white of me? I'm so white.
I've most of my life lived in apartments. On Long Island, I mostly lived in apartments.
Yeah, I just, when I moved here, I looked out into this place I live in now. So I've never really had to deal with, like, neighbors and hallways.
You're the enemy of the podcast.
I'm the enemy.
You've had it too good.
I know.
You've had it
I
too
did
good.
Have. We used to run a show in my house, and the neighbors were totally cool with it. But then these new neighbors moved in, and they wrote like a secret anonymous packet to my landlord and made him stop the show.
Wow.
So even though we were super loud, we had a microphone. I mean, we had 80 people in my living room laughing, and even then, my neighbor didn't complain.
But they didn't talk to you directly. They wrote something to...
They sent an anonymous thing.
See, that's... I don't like that. See, at least I had the guts to say something to them. I hate when... Once I did get somebody complaining about some... When I had lived in a different apartment with a roommate, and we were being loud one night, and then the building manager the next day was like, "Oh, I heard you were being loud last night." And I'm like, "Well, why didn't they just come up and tell us? Like, now you're being like..." I feel like you're reporting me to the principal's office.
Start making him feel like he has a stalker and he has to move. Like, start leaving dead birds at his door.
That's not a bad idea. See, you may not live in an apartment, but you've got all the best
ideas.
See,
I've got all
the...
I know. You know, leave dead birds.
Why did I think of this?
Yeah. Maybe, like, say it's, like, on an Indian burial ground and, like,
I just heard
start haunting it.
Just your second floor apartment.
Just that one.
Just that one. Just the one here in the corner. And then when he moves out, I get his apartment. And his apartment is the only apartment better than my apartment.
Oh, see?
Except
for then you're loud and then someone moves into yours.
No, you just line the walls with cork.
Yeah.
Why
don't you just put up a buffer between you?
You just proustify the apartment.
Or I just tell the neighbor who complains about me being loud that they could go fuck themselves.
Well, is that what you want him to tell you?
No.
Treat thy neighbor like whatever, something.
Yeah,
is that a thing?
It was a long sentence.
That
I get to the end of it.
Don't fuck your neighbor's wife.
Don't fuck. And I won't fuck. I won't fuck my neighbor's young male boyfriend.
Yeah.
So there you go. Before we exit this episode, I got to ask you, Barbara, are you a sports fan?
No.
It's not going to matter.
Okay.
Shit.
I'm probably I'm anti-sports almost.
Well, Sean likes sports. He likes...
Gross.
I like...
Ew, boys.
Wait, what kind of sports?
Well, this is what we're going to get into. This is a new segment. And it is...
Is it now a segment? Did it get upgraded?
We'll see how it tests when we ask the question on Facebook.
Not well.
So this is Sean's F1 racing report.
Oh, God. That is not a sport.
That is...
How does it count as a sport if you just sit in a car?
Oh, do you know how... It's the sport of gentlemen.
I got into an argument with somebody at my job who said that, and I know this isn't NASCAR, but that said, a NASCAR driver driving takes more skill than baseball players, and I got really annoyed with this.
How is that even possible?
You're just making left turns.
What's the difference between F1 and NASCAR?
Okay, so NASCAR is stupid. For starters.
So F1, so NASCAR's the hick version.
Yes,
of F1.
So Formula One is, these cars that they drive are possibly the most sophisticated engineering things on the planet that humans can manipulate.
Right.
These cars are tens of millions of dollars. They're basically rocket ships that can move and turn and maneuver with precision, like millimeter precision. They're driving at around 180 miles an hour.
But are they putting a ball in a hoop?
They are not putting a ball in hoop. It does take a completely different set of skills. Your reflexes, you have to be like a fighter pilot in your reflexes. And you're pulling 3 to 3.5 Gs on some of these corners. So your whole body needs to be conditioned to deal with this. The amount of physical stress that these drivers take is amazing. Plus, unlike NASCAR, where they just drive around in a fucking circle, each track is completely different. Some are street courses, some are designed. So there's...
Is it, when you say street courses, is it like actual streets?
Like Monaco, like if you saw... Well, if you saw in Iron Man 2, they close off parts of the city and they create
a
track.
It's like Cruising USA.
Exactly, like Cruising USA.
The city.
Some are designed tracks. They do it all over the world. And unlike NASCAR, where there's fucking a million races and 27 circuits and 10,000 drivers, there's only 9 teams, and this year's only 19 races. So it's a lot more scaled down. It's like football. Football only has 16 games. It's a lot easier to manage.
Baseball
has 160
games. This is a sprint, not a marathon.
This is a marathon, not a...
What?
No.
Which one are we talking about?
F1 racing is a sprint, and NASCAR is the marathon.
Right, or baseball will be the marathon. You're right.
Yes.
So this past weekend, the season started at the... Melbourne
How's
Grand
there
Prix.
Even a season? I don't know.
Well, the season is 19
races. I don't know why. That's why
it was awesome.
It actually sounds kind
of
cool.
So there's a lot of plot lines. Will Sebastian Vettel, who drives for Red Bull, win his fourth in a row?
Oh, I've been wondering that all offseason.
Will Fernando Alonso win his third? Last year, he lost the championship to Vettel by 6 points. Lewis Hamilton, as we all know, now driving for Mercedes.
I heard it shocked the nation.
Lewis Hamilton, first of all, let me give a couple
statistics. I don't know any words you're saying.
Lewis Hamilton is dating Nicole Scherzinger.
Hamilton is dating...
Yes, Linda Hamilton from Terminator. Formula One is the third most watched event in the world.
What?
After the Olympics and World Cup.
All the things I don't care about.
Yeah. these drivers make more money than any basketball, football, baseball player. They make...
How the fuck have I never heard about it before now?
It's not huge in America. These guys all live in Monaco and Switzerland. They make like $60, $70, $80 million a year.
Not America.
Yeah, fuck them, foreigners.
Well, now since
Mario Andretti drove Formula One back in the day.
Oh, I know that name.
I know him. Yeah.
He's basically the most famous American driver.
He's in Super Mario Brothers.
He is, yes.
Ba-dum-bum-ba-bum-bum-bum.
Yeah. There's your theme song.
Yes. Thanks, Nintendo.
You have to watch this stuff at like 3 in the morning,
right? So because of the time difference of these races, this past weekend it started at 11 p.m., Saturday night. The Malaysian Grand Prix this weekend, the race starts at 1 a.m. on Saturday night.
Malaysia.
But once they come over to Europe, it becomes a little bit more reasonable. The races are at 5 a.m. Sunday morning.
So how are their teams? Do they trade
there
off?
There are, yeah. There's 9 teams. They each field 2 drivers. Last year, there were 10 teams. The sport is so expensive that to maintain it, to put these teams into the field, that they end up dropping out. I mean, it costs, to keep a Formula One team active, it's like $200, $250 million a year in R&D and staffing and... It's insane. The amount of money that goes into the sport is fucking crazy. My friend this weekend said, any sport that Arabs and Russians like is going to be expensive.
How did you get interested in this?
It kind of just came on my radar. I don't remember how, and I started researching it. It's the same way I fell in love with opera. It's the same way I fell in love with a lot of stuff. It kind of gets into my radar.
You're just like, this opera thing. Let me Wikipedia this.
No, so I start researching it, and I find that I'm really into... sports that have
expensive pastimes.
Yes, wealthy, rich Europeans.
You're
just
trying to find a rich lady. That's what you're trying.
A year from now on the podcast, you're going to be talking about the big polo match going on.
I don't know if I can get into polo.
Yeah,
that's a little too douchey. Like, there's like a middle ground there. It's like rich, but not too rich.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I started researching it and looking into it. I saw this documentary. If you've never seen it, it's called Senna. If you know nothing about Formula One,
I know that.
Brilliant. This long story short, this Brazilian driver in the late 80s, early 90s. He was an amazing driver, very charismatic, and he died in this horrific accident right at the peak of his career as one of the most successful Formula One drivers of all time. The movie is fascinating, and I saw this movie, and it made me want to learn more about the sport, and I got really into it. This October, Ron Howard is coming out with a movie starring Chris Hemsworth and Olivia Wilde,
Wilde. I prefer Wilde.
Yeah, and it's about Formula One in the 1970s, and it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for this movie.
So when you're driving, do you kind of like now you pretend you're...
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do.
Get a little crazy.
Do you make like, rah, rah, like make it like noises?
Well, you've got a race car bed.
No,
so.
I don't have a race car. Who told you? I do have a Star Wars pillow.
I do too. Woo-hoo. Whoa!
I wish I still had my Star Wars bed sheets.
Oh, you can always go to Target.
I just
and get
kept
some.
The pillow just for memory.
I had a pillow with Jabba the Hutt on it, and when I was a kid, I loved it.
Until you realize, hey, maybe I'm not getting laid for a reason.
Yeah, this was, by the way.
Yeah, that's the only reason is the pillow. Usually,
yeah. That's my
keeping
biggest,
ladies away.
That's my biggest problem. If I change my bed sheets to something different, I'd have more sex. I'm
so,
going to get on.
Formula One, a lot of fun. If you want to know more, please feel free to reach out to me. We can discuss.
Sean tweets about this a lot, and contact him on Twitter, and you know what? He'll tell you everything you want to know.
Because as those of you who know me, if you get me started on a topic I'm passionate about, I will talk your ear off on it.
If you get him started on topics he's passionate about, like Formula One...
Opera
and Napoleon.
And debt relief for third world countries.
The 30-year war.
I thought you said dent relief.
No, debt relief. ancient Roman coins. We'll talk about that.
He's a big fan of ancient Roman coins.
Yeah, you just like rich stuff. I mean, even debt's kind of like rich stuff.
I'm sorry. What kind of poor thing? I'm sorry. If you'd like, I could be into, I don't know, hiking and
Talk to me, and I'll tell you about...
Top ramen.
Say about top ramen.
Hot pockets.
Yeah. Oh, I got Top Pockets stories to tell.
Well, what's funny is as we sit here, Will's wearing like an old t-shirt and jeans, and I'm wearing a suit, so.
That's right.
Change the name of the podcast.
Blue Collar, White Collar.
Yeah, Fancy Pants.
The Blue Collar, White Collar Comedy Tour Podcast.
Yes. That's pretty good.
Starring Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy. He's our guest next week, actually.
Yeah.
So, perfect.
And I know he's your comedy
idol. I don't know if you've seen his TV show, but he can't speak, so you might have a problem. He literally is just like... That's how he speaks on the show, so good luck.
It's going to be a great episode.
It'll be really good.
Can't wait. I think, real fast, back to what you said earlier, I think we need to get 80 people in here and do a live show in the apartment.
Let me ask you this, Barbara.
You should.
Can you get us 80 people?
Yes. All comics and get you all comedians. They'll all be talking about themselves the whole time.
And criticize incessantly.
Here's an idea for an episode.
Yeah, yelling cunt.
We conduct one... I don't know if this is stupid. I shouldn't be brainstorming stuff on the episode. But we have 80 people in here, 80 comics, and we interview all of them, like one after the other throughout the episode. But we'll keep an interview going as if it's one person. But we'll each ask them. We'll each bring them in for a question.
So it's a human centipede of questions.
Yes, a human centipede of questions.
I had a friend do that. They did like a marathon podcast for I think like 12 hours, and we all just took shifts coming in and talking. And then they found out they weren't recording at the end of it. They had recorded all day.
I live in fear that the episode ends and I'll be like, "How's it sound, Sean?" And like his face will just drop. I live in fear of this.
Yeah.
And it's not you. I would live in fear of it if I was the one looking at the levels. How did they manage that?
I don't know, but it happened.
I want a podcast for 12 hours.
Do it.
Can I do
Sleepover.
That?
Sleepover.
Yeah, you got a colostomy bag and a catheter. We'll get to go.
I would do that. Is this a thing I can do?
Why are you asking me? I don't know. You do it. It's your guys' podcast.
I don't want to do it just here.
I don't know what your guys' schedules are like.
I have 12 hours free to podcast.
I'm very busy.
Go do it at your place, and then you can have a shitload of people and piss off your neighbor.
Done. Barbara, let me tell you what. You are full of great ideas.
It's full of something.
And I'm so glad that we've had you on.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you.
Before we go, again, plug shit.
Listen to Lady to Lady on iTunes and rate and review it and all that crap. Go to my website, myjokesareuphere.com, and you can see where my shows are. I'm doing the Bridgetown Comedy Festival next month in Portland. And,
Oregon or Maine?
Oregon.
Okay.
Hippie town.
And Twitter, because you're very funny on Twitter.
Babs Gray. B-A-B-S-G-R-A-Y.
She's very funny on Twitter.
Sean, plug your shit.
My book, available on Amazon, Amazon Kindle. Ooh, geez. Triumvirs, T-R-I-U-M-V-I-R-S, still available. You can buy that there. Follow me on Twitter, Facebook, at the Sean David. And if anyone's going to the LA Opera on the 31st, going to see Cinderella so we can meet up.
Oh, meet up with Sean at the opera, and after the show, come back to his place to watch some F1 racing all night long.
I don't have a television,
better
so we
bring,
have to watch it on my
bring
laptop.
Bring Cristal, though. Yeah. Got to bring the good shit.
It's a true story. Only expensive, yeah. 18-year and over, please. Thank you very much.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com. I review movies. People seem to like it. And you can also read reviews of mine at U1Can, can like the city in France.com. My latest review is up there. It's for Room 237, which I'll be telling you about a little bit on this podcast, I think, too. It's a very interesting documentary.
Starts out with a killer first line.
Yeah, yes, first yes. sentence is my favorite
my
part.
My review is phenomenal. And, and yeah, and I think that's all the shit I have. So, on April 26th, I'm going to be performing at the Pez Show, and I'm going to be bugging all of you to come down to that. And that's the Pez Show. It's hosted by Alex Alexander, who we've had on the show, and there'll be information on our Facebook page about that and everything. So it's going to be great. Next week on the show, Matt Swanson is our guest. He runs a comedic play reading series called Smarties, which is a really good show, and he's going to come on and tell us all about it. And the week after that, we have a band on. They're they're called The Moth and the Flame. I don't know how many members they have, and I don't know how many they think are getting on this podcast.
I think it's like Arcade Fire. There's like 15 of them.
Which ones are the moths and which ones are the flames, though?
I want one moth and one flame on the show. But they just played South by Southwest, and now they're going to come on our show, so it should be an interesting show. And the week after that, I usually don't plug 3 weeks ahead of time, but the week after that, we've talked about how we've been trying to get a porn star on the show, and they're all so flaky. Well, we found one that's not.
Zach Fox.
He's a pro, yeah. No, she's great. Siri is her name.
Like the woman that lives in your phone.
Okay.
Yes.
Does she talk like that?
She talks exactly like that.
To be fair, her nom de porn predated Siri and iPhone, and it's actually a very popular Scandinavian nickname.
He schooled you, Barbara.
Damn! Boom. I thought I knew everything about Siri.
Well, she's a porn star, and she's going to be coming on the podcast, and I'm very excited because we have questions. And we're not going to be like everyone, all these guys I know are like, are you going to ask her this? No, we're going to have a normal discussion.
We might have James Dean on ours, and I'm a little
really?
Nervous.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm a little nervous because I don't know how to act around him.
Why? Because you see his work?
Yeah.
Is that a problem, having people on the podcast that you've seen their penis?
Not that, but I want to do him, so what do I do?
Well.
Isn't that what he does best? So this should
so it makes sense, but it's like, how do I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. We're trying to
manipulate it. You know what you should do? Leave a dead bird on his porch.
Oh.
Yeah.
But that's not a sign of love. That's how you get someone out.
Well, maybe, you know, you got to be counterintuitive
about
these
things.
I might
just straight up, we'll see. We'll see
I'm
going
to tune in to that episode.
Make sure
ask
you
him
listen
Lindsay Lohan.
We get
all the
on
dirt
there.
On... That movie they
Oh,
did.
He said he doesn't like talking about it anymore.
Well, that New York Times article was enough to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Barbara.
And thank you.
Thank you, guys.
And on that note...
We're finished.
We're finished.
Goodbye.